Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to discuss a little college wrestling today. Of course, interesting turn of events on Friday. Coach Briggs, Penn State, not surprising win or even a decisive victory, but handing Iowa its biggest or a worst loss at Carver-Hawkeye Arena ever and the worst home loss since like 1965 or 66 when they lost 39-0 to Oklahoma. Boy, rough one for Hawkeye fans and actually probably the whole Hawkeye program to stomach on Friday.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of things coming down on the Iowa program right now. But if you ask me, I just think Penn State is that good. And, you know, they've recruited the elite athletes. They have them, you know, two and three deep on that team. And so it wasn't really a surprise. And, you know, it's that big of a thumping. But nevertheless, it's still tough for Iowa fans to chew on that one for sure.
You know, and I want to delve into this because, you know, you've got a lot of people that are chiming in that don't normally chime in. You know, I think frustration's at an all-time high right now with people that follow the program. You know, and that can't be ignored. And I don't think it is ignored. I think Tom Brands really was barely – you know, he was as candid as he could be because, you know, he's not that he doesn't openly criticize his wrestlers very often, if at all, you know. But he talked after the duel how this was a – this was, he's like, we've been beat up before, but never like that. Mm-hmm. Never like that. And he, you know, he admitted the gap between Penn State and Iowa is not closing. It's only getting bigger. And he's, you know, he was like, that's on this guy right here is what he said in motion. And I don't disagree with it. It's, you know, it's on the wrestlers first and foremost. Those are the guys that are out there competing. It's also on the coaching staff because, you know, they're the ones in charge of getting guys ready. And I say that, on the other hand, this Penn State team it's crazy how good they are. I mean, they've lost one match in three or four Big Ten duels. One match. That's it. And even coming into this duel, I think we kind of had the over-under at 2.5. It was, could they win two or three matches most? Maybe four if everything went their way. But, you know, Nasir Bailey, the only one coming through. But I think there's something's got to change in Iowa City if they ever want to reclaim that first, that top spot. Right. I'm not saying fire coach, but something either the way things are being administered or, you know, something, whether it's kind of how the Hawkeye Wrestling Club factors in, the way they train, you know, something that needs to change technically, something needs to change in Iowa City for them to ever reclaim that top spot. But I don't think they're any different than every other program out there right now, because Penn State's humiliating everybody.
Right. Yeah, and so I will say this to kind of preface this conversation. Iowa in the past, 10, 15 years has been behind, it's been the best program of all of the others, really. Obviously, mm-hmm. Penn State, got that, went past them a few years ago and didn't look back. But really, they've been production-wise the second best team in the country. How many schools would really almost kill for that? Would just right. love to have their program be the runner-up in the nation. But it's not good enough for Iowa, and I understand that. The previous coach at Iowa, Zaleski, kind of took some heat as well. When he didn't produce, and won national championship. Did he win more than one? KJ?
Yeah, I think he won a couple of those first couple of years. And I think the people that the critics to them, to that aspect of Zaleski's tenure, said he did it with Gable's recruits still. That right. there are still Gable recruits that he won those titles with.
Right, and you can also, to an extent, say the same thing when Brands took over and won three titles. He did that with a good number of Zaleski recruits.
the Virginia Tech wrestlers that followed him too. Right, so exactly. He kind of had the two recruiting groups that he benefited from.
So here's something interesting, KJ. A few years ago, I took my high school team to Wabash to the camp, and they have incredibly good. They did have incredibly good clinicians: Bruce Baumgartner, Tom Brands, Kale Sanderson, David Taylor, and on and on and on. They're just incredibly good clinicians. And Tom Brands had to bow out because he had to go to a funeral of a booster. So Terry came instead. So really, Tom, you're getting the same.
Sure.
And so that was the day before the Sanderson and Taylor were there. Terry was given the old, if you can't get it, do it harder, sort of thing, the mm-hmm. Iowa mentality, just drive it through, bam, bam, bam. And then the next day, both separately, Sanderson and Taylor, well, this was when Taylor was still competing, right? Said, don't do it harder, do it smarter. So they were using that mentality at that camp to kind of outfox, the Iowa mentality. And so that's why, the reason I'm bringing this up is I think that's one of the things that might be able to happen as you're suggesting, don't do it harder, do it smarter.
Right.
And maybe take that, because that, teams are using that to recruit against you. So anyway.
In one thing too, and I think this kind of stands out a little bit from the Penn State duel. And again, I really, really hesitate to say stuff like this because one, I hear non-wrestlers say it and it bugs the hell out of me just because sometimes they don't know their head from a hole in the ground. When it comes to what it takes, especially in that final minute, when you're battling for 7 minutes, they don't understand how your lungs are burning. They don't understand how, your muscles are tense, and they don't understand what it takes to go through. And, I probably know better than most of them, and I have no clue. I was average at best in high school, and I wasn't even that when they let me hang around and be part of a program in college, to be totally honest. But the one thing compared to other Iowa teams of the past is when matches were 4-2 in the third period or 3-2 and you need a takedown, a lot of times it was conditioning or will. It allowed being that close, usually you could bank on Hawkeyes conjuring up a winning move and out hustling and beating opponents in those final minutes or breaking them. And that's not happening. That's not happening at all. They had four, here, I'll look it up. There are three or four matches, maybe five even, that were 4-2 or 4-3. And Iowa didn't have a takedown in any of those matches.
Right. Or 2-1 in tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, just looking here, Blaze beat Ayala 4-2. Duke beat Williams 4-2. Haynes beat Arnold 4-2. Cole Marisola beat Keeter 4-3. And then you mentioned the tiebreaker where Rocco Welsh beat Ferrari 2-1. I think that's the most concerning part of this whole the situation is how it's being played out.
Right.
And that's the one that, you know, I think bothers, you know, it's one thing if you go down in a firefight, it's another thing if you go down with two takedowns in 10 matches.
Right. And that, you know, I guess the positive side is that you're very close in a lot of those matches where one takedown could be the difference, you know, later on if you happen to meet them at Big Tens or at Nationals or whatever. So we're, you know, they're close. You know, the score, the team score doesn't seem to that like Iowa's that close, but really, you know, a takedown here or there, and all of a sudden, you know, you could win five of those matches, you know. That would be a perfect world. And, but still, so, I mean, I'm trying to look at the bright side as well on this.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think the villagers are out with, pitchforks and torches trying to track down the monster right now. Right.
Yeah. I was thinking of this kind of a witch hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and I don't necessarily think they're that out of line, but I just think Penn State's not the time to do it. Let's see how Nebraska goes. Let's see how Minnesota is. If, you know, they lose, if they split those two, then I'm starting to get a little more leery about how things are.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State, you know, they've already beaten Iowa once. How do they do the second time they face them? Are they more competitive? You know, how do they fare in a rematch with Ohio State? And if they close the gap there or, you know, maybe pull it out. We'll see. But, you know, there's a lot of intensity. And I'll ask you this. As being a reporter, I've covered Iowa wrestling since, well, the first NCAA tournament I went to was 2009, where I helped J.R. Ogden for the finals. And then starting in 2010, when Iowa won at Omaha, that was my first year fully. Let me ask you. Have we pushed the issue the way it should be pushed?
Has the media?
Yeah.
I think there's some questions out there that could be asked and answered. So I guess to your answer, no. I mean, I think it should be, you know, the media's our job, your job to ask those questions. And I should think that the coach would want to answer those. It, you know, so that he can have that information out there and kind of, I don't mean to defend because, you know, that's not what needs to happen, but maybe it does. I don't know. So, you know, I think the media needs to ask questions. And I also think that the coach needs to answer them.
And I'll give you a little insight I don't think you're wrong. I'll put it that way. Sometimes, you know, and I remember we talked about this after the Soldier Salute with the whole Ferrari fiasco, AJ Ferrari fiasco, not Angelo. But, you know the answer you're going to get, so you almost, why bother? You know he's not going to talk. You know he's not going to want to broach the subject, so why bother?
He being Coach Benz?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it has nothing to do with being scared or worry about upsetting people. It's just, you know what you're going to get. So it's pointless. However, it still needs to get done. It still needs to get done. And, you know, I think we're at a time where it will.
Well, and I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of a particular question. I'm kind of bringing up an old incident, but not that old, still this year. Like when Indeen was dismissed from the team, you know, I don't know. Is Coach Brands not saying anything to protect Indeen, to protect himself, the program, I should say. Or is he just, you know, frustrated or whatever? And kind of not talking at all. So, you know, that kind of an incident was where I'm thinking, you know, if you're, you know, and I hate to compare one to the other, but there's, you know, some other coaches around that are also pretty open with their conversations and forthright and so forth. True. And so forth. So, and I very much appreciate that.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Indeen thing. Tom Brands was asked about that and some of the rumors that have been circulating, especially on social media, and Brands kind of reiterated, we're not going to air out our dirty laundry in public. We're not gonna go down that road, and you know, they're going to keep it in house. Essentially, is what he says. He said, we're just gonna say it didn't work out. And I think the question was more geared towards the rumor of Indeen was hurt and coaches wanted him to wrestle through it, and that's where everything kind of went. And he didn't want to, he just like, we're not gonna air it out. We just said it didn't work out. And we're leaving it at that. And, you know, he's not the only coach to ever do that. But, you know, it kind of goes to what you were saying where, you know, it's a situation where they handle everything in-house. And sometimes that's kind of tough to.
I think that's the
blood out of a stone.
Right. And I think that's the frustration with. As you mentioned, the guys that are carrying the pitchforks, was it, or whatever you said, you know, those guys, because it builds up, because, you know, you had the Bo Bassett incident this year, you had the Indeen incident this year, now you got people questioning with the effort on the Penn State mat, so there's a lot of things, and the season's far from over, and things can turn around real fast, I guess, but they're going to have to wrestle in Nebraska, like you said, Minnesota coming up. Nebraska, how about Nebraska has Iowa and then Ohio State? So
right,
their schedule.
There are no off weeks in the Big Ten. No. But I think a lot of people are at wit's end, I think, after Friday because of the. We'll just say it was kind of embarrassing, I think, as a program to get beat like that. Even as good as Penn State is, they probably never fathomed, that type of beatdown. But
right, and they were one upset away from a skunk,
from a skunking, and Just kind of looking at this right now, and I mentioned this in the weekend that was, Penn State has outscored their opponents 381-19. The most points they've given, they went 8-2 in the duel against Wyoming, where they had a backup 97 pounder in that lost by a major, I believe, to an All American. And then their heavyweight won, or Wyoming's heavyweight won.
Keeter was out, yeah.
Well, no, Christian Carroll. I'm talking about Wyoming and
Penn State. Wyoming, yeah.
Christian Carroll beat Mirasola, the other Mirasola. But other than that, you know, they blanked Rutgers and Northwestern, and so I'm not going to say it's unfair to use the Penn State duel, but you know, I think there needs to be a little more. I know they've got the Iowa State duel rub people the wrong way. I mean, come on, that's the first time in 20 some years. You can't expect a team to be perfect, especially against another good program. There's going to be a slip. Same with Ohio State. Now we'll see how do they bounce back against Nebraska. Is it going to be similar? Even if it was the way they wrestled against Wisconsin. Remember Wisconsin, it was 7 lackluster matches and then 3 really good performances from Caliendo Kennedy and Ferrari to close things out that really kind of saved the day there to make it respectable. But I think I'm going to wait just one more week and see how things go against Nebraska, and then really kind of put things in perspective there.
I think that's fair. At least one more week. Yep.
You know, but something needs to change. That's for sure. Because, you know, just offensively in some of those bigger duels this year, it hasn't been there for Iowa. So let's see if they can kind of turn things around here and kind of get the ship righted against Nebraska. Speaking of Nebraska, they're going to be down one of their starters. Ferrari not in the probable lineup. Gabe Arnold going 184. Patrick Kennedy's expected back in the lineup at 174. You got one of 3 people at 125 with Dean Peterson, Joey Cruz, Keon Hernandez. Bailey, who is the lone winner against Penn State, seems to be kind of in good shape. And Cale Peterson at 141. Then you have the duo at 157 listed as well, even though I think Jordan Williams is kind of separated himself there. Ferrari looked like he was, you know, a couple times he was coming back to the center, maybe limping a little bit, maybe favored his a leg as he walked off the mat against Welsh on Friday. So it doesn't surprise me that he's not in the lineup. I'm guessing if it was March, he'd be going. It's probably not, you know, probably not anything to be that concerned about without knowing for sure. Give him a chance to rest, and especially when you have somebody like Arnold you can plug in. But probably doesn't help not being 100% full strength going into Lincoln, which can be a beehive.
Right, and you're going to want to really take care of a Ferrari. I mean, mentally, physically, you know, just everything. You're not going to throw him out there and maybe something happens and now he's gone for the season or whatever, because that's your guy right now. He got a few guys on the team, but that has been pretty much the guy, number one guy anyway, on the team.
So, yeah, especially when you have Max McNeely coming in the following week with Minnesota. Right. So I think it's a good time to, go ahead and plug Arnold in if Angelo's a little beat up or banged up.
And kudos to Arnold. I mean, the guys came back and he had, issues there over the summer, came back on the team. And it seems to me he's done everything that they've asked.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And Brand's kind of hinted at that a little bit too, that he's been whatever is needed kind of guy at the moment and ready to jump in. And that's who they're going with. So that's a late start on Friday, 8 p.m., because I think they have a triple header. I think I read today the Big Ten has three meets back to back to back on Friday. So that's kind of cool to see.
I thought I saw a 2, 4, and 6 o'clock start. But that doesn't seem right. It should be
maybe a 4, 6, and 8.
Yeah, it would make sense. Okay.
So Iowa State had the Harold Nichols Open on Sunday. Really the only thing there as far as Iowa State, you and I went, Connor Uten wrestled and won at 165, and I only point that out because Uten, Aiden Riggs, and Manny Rojas finished 1, 2, and 3 there. Kind of guessing maybe that was kind of an informal wrestle-off there at 65 to give Riggins a chance to make his case. And looks like Connor Uten kind of solidified his spot maybe.
Yeah, and he beat beat Riggins 8-1, so that's a pretty good separation there.
Right. The one thing, Tony Cassiope, former Hawk that is at Wisconsin as an assistant, part of the Wisconsin RTC, he wrestled at the Harold Nichols Open and won the heavyweight division. I think he teched his way to the finals and got a medical forfeit. I love seeing post grads compete. I just do. I think it was cool to see Cassiope take the mat and then win it.
You know, that used to be the thing at Midlands.
Yep.
Midlands tournament was so strong. All the great teams would come in. And then what made it even tougher were, especially on an Olympic year, those guys that are getting ready, during the trials and that sort of thing, they want competition. And there wasn't a lot of freestyle competition, so they had to get it through, at the Midlands. So, I remember Gable coming in. I guess this was a Madison Open, but Gable coming in after he won an Olympic gold and wrestling, and guy named by the name of Lee Kemp beat him.
Yeah.
And I was in that weight class.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. If you were the guy in the huge weight class, a 32 man bracket, and just to say, I told my coach, I go, holy cow, how do you expect me to win the weight class if the Olympic gold medalist can't win it?
right. You and I had a couple place winners. Paradise Brothers finished 3rd and 4th. They're in the middleweights. But not a real heavy contingent of you and I wrestlers there. Iowa State wrestles Northern Colorado at Hilton on Friday. And then they go to Humboldt. One you can see on Iowa PBS Sunday at 2 p.m. against South Dakota State and the Jackrabbits there. So kind of a neat deal. This is, the third or fourth year that Iowa State has gone to Dresser's alma mater in Humboldt to wrestle a duel. So kind of cool there. I know Iowa used to do that to kind of give a treat to various Hawkeye booster club kind of regions in the state, and cool to see Iowa State do that at Humboldt at Dresser's alma mater. And then you and I, kind of a rare Thursday night meet for the Panthers. They host Arizona State on Thursday at the McLeod Center.
Yeah, I think I said this a couple of shows ago that this is you and I's only meet they have that doesn't involve a ranked team coming in or they're wrestling. So yeah, so and ASU is pretty good.
Yeah, and they're you know, they've wrestled pretty well. The last time they really took the mat, they beat South Dakota State 20-14 to win the NWCA duels. And of course, they're missing a couple other starters, Wyatt Volker and Corey Land, both out for the season. So I know Volker is for sure. I'm pretty sure Land is. But he's been out of there. He did not wrestle there against South Dakota State. So we'll see how you and I does this Thursday, and then Iowa State and you and I have their trip down to Oklahoma for the Sooners and Cowboys. So that's the following weekend. But let's touch on the DeRoe Invitational, the Cliff Keen Mike DeRoe Invitational, named after the late Cornell coach, Mike DeRoe. Had men's and women's there. As far as the men go, Jace Van Pelt, and then Brian Petrie, both win titles for Cornell on the men's side. Petrie, who's ranked 11th, won at, I believe, 165 pounds. Van Pelt won his second DeRoe title at 125. But not necessarily kind of the top field or the top team, top wrestlers from the programs there, but still two good wins for the Rams.
Right. I would say this, though, KJ. So Augsburg University won it. They had six champs. Lacrosse had one champ, Cornell two, and Warburg one. So Lacrosse had three of their varsity guys in. Two of them are contenders. You know how they've got the top eight, I think, top eight or ten, and then the contenders is the next, and then the honorable mention is below. So a couple of lacrosse kids there. And then Augsburg, they had six of their ranked guys. So they had two contenders, one that was ranked ninth. So their 33-pounder is a contender. Their 41-pounder is ranked ninth. Their 57-pounder is ranked fifth. Their 74-pounder is a contender. Their 97-pounder is ranked third, and their heavyweight is ranked sixth. So Augsburg can't brought down. That's unusual. They don't usually do that. So
that's good
that
to see.
That made that tournament a lot tougher because of that. And also lacrosse. I'm sure lacrosse probably wanted to get those guys some matches because they didn't have their full varsity lineup in. But
gotcha.
And then Co had seven medalists, no finalists, but did have seven medalists. So that's not a bad showing, really.
I think the Kurtz boys were part of those medal group, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was good. On the women's side, really quickly, Iowa dominated before they had their duels on Sunday. They had, I think, eight officially, nine overall, when you count Naomi Simon, who's wrestling unattached right now at 180. So they took 80 to 90% of the titles on the women's side. Valerie Solorio, Nyla Valencia, Harley Hiller, Kelly Lang, Carly Brooks, Lily Luft at 138, Reese Laramendi, who is not that far removed from a win over number one Bellemere, North Central. And then Katya Osteen, all won titles. Osteen beat her teammate J.C. Fowler in the finals. And Iowa had all Iowa finals at 103, 110, 131, 145, and then, of course, at 207. Mentioned Simon, who's redshirting this year. She had two pins and two technical falls, beating Simpson's Autumn Calvert in the finals 11-0. And then one other finish to note, Libby Dix, wrestling in her own hometown, the former Mount Vernon two-time state champ, I believe. She went 3-2 overall, placed fifth at 207. You know, in the same small – was it the small multi-sport center that her dad used to wrestle in? So that's kind of cool there for the Dix family.
KJ, I'm going to ask to see if you have any more information on this. Did I see that Lily Luff and maybe even Ellis Schmidt are calling it a career?
I know Ellie Schmidt is. I hadn't seen anything from Lily Luff yet.
Okay.
Know that this is going to be, I believe, to give proper credit, I believe it was Ross Bartichek at IA Wrestle. He had a post that, I believe this was Ella Schmidt's last year.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was just Ella or if it was the two of them. So I.
Yeah, I haven't heard that officially from Lily Loft. Of course, I just don't know. Yeah. But very well could be.
And I'm my memory's not as good.
So. Good performance there, and of course, they went on and were down it on Sunday as well. And then, any other small college
I would action? Say just this, that Upper Iowa beat Maryville down in St. Louis 28-13. Their next competition is tomorrow versus number 8 McKendree. That's over in Illinois, Lebanon, Illinois. And then on Friday, they wrestled number 20, University of Indianapolis. So they got a little road trip swing to the east there. And then this weekend are the ARC Conference duels, American River Conference duels. And Nebraska Wesleyan hosts Coe, Simpson, Loris, and Nebraska Wesleyan. And then University of Dubuque, I've seen who was hosting, hosts Wartburg Central, and where's Luther going? They're at Luther's at Nebraska Wesleyan too.
Nebraska Wesleyan, yep.
Yep.
All right. One thing to note, I'm not sure when you mentioned Upper Iowa, did you mention their conference wrestler of the week?
I did not, no.
Yeah, one second. Let me call this up here. Sorry for not being on the ball.
I should mention also while you're doing that, Cornell is at the Pete Wilson Invitational. It's a two-day tournament since they're not in the ARC.
That's right. Griffin Luke. He was the Great Lakes Valley Conference Wrestler of the Week. His performance against Maryville, he beat number 7 and defending national champion Cole Ritter at 174 pounds. Had a second period pin. So
he pinned the national defending champ?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It was one of 4 bonus points for the Peacocks. They moved to 4-0, and it's a 6th victory of the season. So, yep, got a second period fall against Cole Ritter of Maryville, the defending champ. So
nice.
All right. I think any other parting words or comments?
Nope.
All right. Well, make sure to check out all our content at thegazette.com. course, Iowa heads to Nebraska this week. Iowa State hosts Northern Colorado on Friday and then heads to Humboldt to face South Dakota State. U and I hosts Arizona State on Thursday. And as Nick mentioned, the American River Conference duels at their two sites this weekend. So make sure you follow along all of that, the great college action out there. And I'll just leave it to you to close us out here.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.